We can dive in. We've got a few scriptures and things we're going to go through. We are going to talk this morning. We're going to get into a message about a mighty God. Okay, and not just a mighty God, but He is our mighty God. I actually had changed the title. When I first wrote it, I put a mighty God, and I changed it, and I said, no, He's not just a mighty God. He is our mighty God. He is our King and our Savior and our Lord. He is very, very awesome, and we're going to get into that this morning. But let's start with some prayer. Father, we are lifting up our hearts and our minds unto You this morning, and I pray that as we do, Lord, that You will penetrate our hearts, that You will speak into our lives in ways that make sense, speak into our lives about areas where we could turn things over to You or areas that we could lift You up and acknowledge You for what You've done. Father, I pray that You'll speak deeply into our hearts to encourage us in faith, in believing the truth of You and who You are. Father, we praise You for it. I thank You for it. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. So sometimes we just need a reminder of how big our God really is. Okay, we think sometimes about, yeah, God is big. He's made the earth, right? I mean, He's pretty big. But when we forget that our God is supernatural, okay, when we forget that our God is miraculous, that He is not bound by what we can see and hear, okay? When we forget about those things, then we tend to look at our circumstances, okay, whatever it is we come up against in life, and we come up against those circumstances without engaging our faith, okay? And when we do that, it can lead to despair. It can lead to, hang on a second, Google lady is really tripping me lately because every time I say something, it doesn't have to be it doesn't have to be that, but all of a sudden she clicks on and is starting to listen to what I'm saying. It's kind of strange, but anyway, it's a conspiracy, but I think she's out to get me. No. So if we get to the point, let me rephrase this again. If we get to the point where we forget that God is supernatural, if we forget how big and awesome and real and miraculous and not bound by this world stuff that He is, then we tend to look at circumstances without engaging faith. Okay? And if we do that, if you're not applying your faith to your situation, okay, it can lead to despair, okay, or hopelessness, discouragement, or at the very best, it's going to lead to a mediocre expectation of something good to come out of it. Just kind of a, like you're not expecting to really be blessed. Maybe God will somehow struggle you through it. Okay, that is engaging in a circumstance without applying your faith to an almighty God. Okay, the truth is that the God of the Bible that we serve is a miracle worker. Okay, I'm going to say that again because only two got it, okay? The God of the Bible that we serve is a miracle worker. Amen? Okay, that is the gist of what we're talking about today. God is not only the creator of the known and the unknown universe. Okay, He is not only the creator of you and me and everything that we can see, but God is actively at work on your behalf every moment of every day. Okay, not a second goes by where God does not have your best interest in mind. Okay, that is the truth. God is all-knowing and He's all-powerful. Okay, and as much as we think that would be hard to forget, okay, that God is all-knowing and all-powerful, it is astounding to me how often we do just that. We start leaning on our own understanding. We start trying to figure things out on our own brain power. Okay, we start trying to do the math. We start trying to figure out why people are doing stuff or to do whatever without leaning on our God. Okay, without calling upon the name of the Almighty God, saying, God, I need some revelation here. I need some wisdom in what's happening. God, I need some strength. God, I need some provision, or whatever it is. Okay, now, some of you remember David. Okay, he wrote a lot of the Psalms that we read. Okay, but the very first psalm where he is quoted as writing the first psalm is not in the book of Psalms. It's in the book of 1 Chronicles. And I want to read that to you this morning. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, starting in verse 8, David said, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all of His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name, and let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Remember His marvelous works that He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. David says that we are to make known the deeds of God among the people. In other words, God did this, and we tell them what He did. We are to talk of all of God's wondrous works. Okay, that is things both in our own life, things that we read about in the Bible, things that we've heard and testimonies of other people. We talk about His wondrous works. When David says to remember God's marvelous works that He hath done, it means those things that greatly surpassed your expectations. It's when you had a God moment. It's when you were wowed by God. God did something that there was no other way to happen, and you acknowledge that. That is a marvelous work of God. They are things that are amazing, wonderful, surprising, and astounding. They are things that make you go, right? It makes you go, wow, look what God did. Amen. David continues on with his psalm in verse 23. He says, sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day His salvation. Declare His glory among the heathen, His marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared or reverenced above all gods, for all the little g gods of the people are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Amen. Glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering. Come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You know, these words are a great example for us because they were spoken by someone who is pretty famous for being a man after God's own heart. These are the words of someone that figured out that the Lord is great. Okay, the Lord is awesome. The Lord is above all others. He figured out that the Lord is worthy of all of our praise. These are the words that are spoken by someone that acknowledges that there is nothing impossible for God. Amen. God even said this of Himself when He was talking to the prophet Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 32:27, He says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. And then He asks, is there anything too hard for Me? Okay, now obviously this is a rhetorical question. Okay, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. Okay, there is nothing too difficult for God. And when we get that, just that one statement, there is nothing too hard for God, there is nothing too difficult for God. When we get that one statement, deep down inside of our heart, we begin to live like there is nothing too difficult for God. And our expectations increase. We're talking about faith. When we know that there is nothing impossible for God, there is nothing too difficult, our expectations elevate. It's only when we start bringing God down to natural human size that we quit asking for the big stuff. Okay, that's when we quit acknowledging that He is capable of anything, because we're only going to ask a little because we serve a little God at that point. When you believe that your God can do anything, then you begin to apply your faith by asking for anything. Okay? You end up asking for bigger things. Jesus told us in Matthew 21:22, He said, "And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." Amen. Okay, now I'm going to go on a little bunny trail here about believing for just a second. Some people don't understand what this verse means. Whatsoever you ask the Lord, believing, you shall receive. It has a qualifier. How many of you believe? Well, let me rephrase that, because I already know the answer. It would be rhetorical. I know without a doubt that each person in this room believes that the chair you're sitting on will hold you off the floor. You know how I know that? Because you acted upon what you believed and you sat in it. If it was a rickety one-legged chair, right, that you kind of had to prop up and try to get it to stand up so you could jump up on it, how many of you would have sat down on it? Probably not very many. Because you do not believe that that chair would hold you up. Okay? You act on what you believe. That's what believing means. That's where faith kicks in. Faith has got some action to it. Let me give you another example. Believing is what leads to action. So if I stood up here and kind of in a calmly manner said, "Hey everybody, the building's on fire. We all need to get out." How many of you would jump up and run out of the building? But if Kara came out of the back room screaming, "Fire, fire," and smoke billows in through the door, how many, and screams, "We all got to get out," how many people would go grab your kids and get out the door? Okay, everybody. Because we believed that there's a fire. If you don't believe, you will not act. Does that make sense? If you want to apply faith, you are going to do something with your faith. It is not about works. It is about applying faith by putting action to what you believe. If you believe it, you'll act. If you don't, you won't. Everybody here this morning believes that being in church this morning is where you were supposed to be, or you would not be here. You made a choice to be here. Okay, that is because you believed something. You believed it was going to benefit you. It was going to help you. It was what you needed to do this morning. There's some reason you believed you're supposed to be here. That's the same with faith. Whatsoever you ask of the Lord, believing, you will receive. So do we act on what we pray? Do we actually believe what we pray? And if we do, then we're going to start acting in a way that says, "I believe." Okay, that's why I can say that If we believe God, if we believe that He can do anything, then we will begin to ask Him to do anything. Okay, that's an act of faith. Okay, in John chapter 16, Jesus told us this. He said, "And in those days you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. Here too, or up to now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, so that your joy may be full." Okay, Jesus says, You haven't received it because you haven't asked for it. And if you did ask it and you didn't receive it, okay, this one's going to cut. If you did ask it and you didn't receive it, it was probably because in your mind you were asking a God that may or may not actually be able to provide you with the answer. Here's where expectations come in. If you serve a little God, you're going to ask little stuff and get little stuff. If you ask, see a big God, you'll ask for more. Let me give you an example. If I asked Donald Trump for $1 million, I believe he could give that to me. He's a billionaire, right? I mean, he's got it. If he wanted to, he could give it to me. But if I asked my cousin Larry to give me $1 million, I don't know if my cousin Larry has the ability to give me $1 million. My expectation would not be very high. Maybe he saved up. Maybe he invested well. I haven't talked to him for a few years. Maybe he could give it to me, but I don't really have that knowing. But Donald Trump, on the other hand, I know that he has that. Do you understand why it's so important on what you're believing, who you're believing for or from? Okay? If we don't understand why it is so important to recall and remind ourselves how big our God is. Because if we pray for something and we think he might do it, he's done a few times, maybe he'll do it for me, we're asking Cousin Larry. But if we believe that God is capable of doing and producing and doing all this stuff that we're asking, if we have examples in scriptures, if we have testimonies of people that have told it in the congregation that said, God did this for me, then we're praying to a God that we believe can actually produce that, that he can do that. Now, I'm not talking about making God your butler. He's not like that. But I'm saying when we pray to a God that is massive in power, strength, wisdom, everything, that he has it all, but we're asking like we're asking Cousin Larry, it's no wonder we don't receive the prayers we ask. You know, when the angel of the Lord met with Mary and told Mary that she was going to be miraculously impregnated with the Son of God, he reassured Mary by telling her that even your cousin Elizabeth is going to have a baby who had been barren for many years. In other words, the angel encouraged Mary by telling her of a miracle. A miracle is happening in your cousin's life that you're going to be able to see and acknowledge. And when you do, let it sink it in, this miracle that I'm telling you is going to happen to you. In other words, he told of a miracle to help her believe for a miracle. Okay, that's why we have the Bible. That's one of the reasons. That's where we get that understanding. After that, angel of the Lord tells Mary this. Tells her about this miracle. He says this in Luke 1:37. He says, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Tells her about a miracle. This miracle is going to happen to you because with God, nothing is impossible. Just because something hasn't happened yet, or just because something has never happened before, or just because something looks like it could never come to pass in the natural, it does not mean a thing to God. God might be just waiting for somebody to put their faith and their trust in him and ask for it, believing that it's his to give. Didn't he say? It's the Father, Jesus said, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants to give you everything that he has. You know, the God we serve is a jealous God, too. God likes to get the credit for what he does in our lives. Okay, God likes to be acknowledged, talk of his wondrous works, tell of all his marvelous things among the people. Okay, God likes to be acknowledged for what he does in our lives. Maybe he's already been doing some miraculous things in your life, and you just blow it off like it's no big deal. Or worse yet, you take credit for it yourself. Like you made it happen. Like you brought it to pass. Okay, the more that we praise and exalt God for what he does in our lives, the more we are going to see him doing in our lives. Psalm chapter 40, verse 4 says this. It said, "Blessed is that man that makes the Lord his trust and respects not the proud nor turns aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee, and if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." Okay, just acknowledging that God has done this, 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 and this, and this, and that, and so many more things that there's more than I could even name. You know, I was talking to a Christian brother the other day that God had literally done a miracle in their life. They knew it. I knew it. And I said, "Man, that is awesome. You should tell everybody in the church about it." And they said that they had told a select few people, but they were concerned that if they told everybody, that some of them might scoff at it, and some might even think he was just making it up. And I thought to myself, if Christians scoff at a miraculous testimony, they do not know the God of the Bible very well. Amen. This is the same God that spoke through a donkey, or had a donkey able to talk at least. God bless you. This is the same God that opened up the earth to swallow up the wicked. This is the same God that parted the Red Sea so that his people could escape the hand of their enemies. This is the God that had a huge fish swallow up a man and hold him in his belly alive for 3 days and three nights, and then spit him out onto dry land exactly where God wanted that man. Our God is the one that supplied the tax money for Peter and Jesus. When he goes to him and says, "Lord, we've got to come up with something," Jesus says, "Go fishing, and the first fish you catch will have a coin in its mouth. Use that to pay our taxes." And that's exactly what happened. You know, what enemy is pursuing you that the Lord could deliver you from? Where do you need to be that the Lord could help you to be? What financial need do you have that you should simply seek the Lord and tell him, "Lord, we have a need"? You know, our mighty God provided food for thousands of people at a time on multiple occasions, because there was a need and the people were willing to take the little bit they had and offer it to God. And then God multiplied it to feed the masses. The Bible tells us of a man that hadn't walked for more than 30 years and he was instantly healed by Jesus. You know, what area in your life do you feel is crippled that is keeping you from going where you desire to go? Maybe ask your wonder-working God for a miracle. Jesus healed a man's hand that had withered. We talked on Wednesday about seeking the hand of God versus the face of God, and the hand of God represents the things that you do. Okay, or our hand represents what you do. There were things in that man's life that he simply could not do with that ailment, and Jesus was more than willing. He was well able to heal it so that man could move forward with his life. You know, maybe you have some loved ones that you desire to see set free from addictions, okay, or some bondage that they're in that's keeping them bound up, holding them back. You know, we have direct access to the miraculous God of the Bible. He set a man free from a legion of demons so that he could be in his right mind and go and tell everybody what the Christ had done in his life. Look up the word Gadarenes in the Bible. Jesus healed people's sons. He healed their daughters. of diseases, of tormenting spirits, so that they could simply testify of what he had done. You know, maybe somebody that you know is going down the wrong path in life. Your heart just aches because you know that there's a better way for them. Well, guess what? The God we serve was able to stop a man named Saul in his tracks and instantly change the direction of his life for eternity. The Apostle Paul went from, or Saul went from a man that hated and persecuted Christians to a man that was on fire for Jesus and spread the gospel all over the known land. Jesus found the worst of sinners in a man named Zacchaeus. He was a lying, cheating tax collector. And Jesus loved that man until he yielded his life to him and changed his ways. Our God has opened prison doors. He has stopped the mouths of lions. He has defeated death. He miraculously caused the walls of Jericho to come crashing down. Okay, that indicates that he is willing and able to remove some barriers in your life as well. He gave Samson a supernatural strength at the exact moment when he needed it, revealing that he will do that for you as well. Our mighty God caused a widow woman, caused her oil to be multiplied so that she could pay off her debts. She was going to lose her children if she could not pay off those debts. But God did not want that for her, and he does not want that for you either. God supernaturally protected three men in a fiery furnace, causing not even their hair or their clothes to be singed or smell like smoke. And the guy that had them thrown in there said when he looked into that fiery furnace that he saw four in the fire instead of the three he had thrown in, telling us that when we are in the middle of the fires of life, that we can expect the Lord to be in the fire with us and that we can come out of that unscathed as well. On numerous occasions, Jesus healed blind eyes. He touched eyes and they were completely healed, indicating that he can and will remove the blinders from our eyes so that we will know the where, the when, the how, the why. We can understand and go that direction. You know, I could go on and on and on and on and on about the testimonies and the examples of things that God has done for his people. Okay, this is not a weak or incompetent God that we serve. He is the Almighty God who can do anything. Jesus, who I think we could say probably knows God better than any of us, said very plainly in Matthew 19:26, said, "For with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Okay, lift up your expectations. Exalt the King in your life, your Lord, your Savior, your God, and start putting him on this pedestal that he deserves in all of his glory and splendor, and let him be your God. If you serve the God of the Bible, then believe that you serve the God of the Bible. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the God of the impossible and the God of the possible. He is a mighty, mighty God. Glorify our King. Father, we're praising you this morning. We lift up the name of Jesus. We lift up our Savior. We lift up your glory and your power. We thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for your testimonies. Thank you for your miracles. Thank you for the work you've already done up to this point. Thank you for the miracles you've done in our lives, Lord, that we could testify of all the things that are not yet written, Lord, that you have done in our lives. Thank you for where you're taking us, Lord, that we can put our hope and our trust and our faith and our belief in you as our God and our King, knowing that you can and will and are well able and are very willing to do and to bless and to pour out of your power and glory right into our lives, Lord. I thank you that you are a miraculous God, that you are the God of the supernatural, that you are above all, Lord, and we praise you and we exalt you for it. Father, as we go forth in this week, I pray that our expectation is lifted. I pray that we tune in to you and look to you with a revived fervor, Lord, saying that you are a God of all. You are the creator. You are above. You are huge. You're massive. You're powerful. You're glorious. You're wonderful. You're marvelous. Lord, and I pray that as we do and we look to you with that, that our faith increases right along with it. That we begin to seek you and seek your face, to seek your guidance in our life, to seek your wisdom, your strength, your power, to seek for your provision in every need, in every area of our lives. Father, we praise you this morning. You're a King of kings and a Lord of lords. You are our Savior, our best friend. You are our provider. You're our healer. You're our protector. We trust you this morning. We praise you this morning. And we exalt you in Jesus' name. We say, amen. Amen.